talking about giving and matters related to that are obviously tightly woven into the topics that we've been talking about as a church family. Michael asked me earlier this week if I'd be willing to take us through the strategy section here. This is Life to the Nth is a resource that obviously I've deeply personally been impacted by over the years, and it's something that I've used kind of in a variety of capacities with young adults from our middle school, high school age program, as well as working with college students, and it's an area that I'm definitely passionate about, so I'm looking forward to kind of walking us through the next segment here. And the question we'll be asking this morning as a group is, how do we make our legacy a reality? Now, I realize that in the room here, there's probably a pretty good combination of people who have touched this topic or the Life to the Nth resource at a kind of a first touch level, some people who have been working with it for a long period of time. But no matter what, a continual cycle and continue review through these ideas only helps to strengthen our own understanding and implementation of the ideas, so we can kind of hop into things here. Obviously, we've been spending the past several weeks, Michael kicked things off, and then Sam continued to build on things last week, really hovering around this idea of, at the beginning of the year, what does it look like for us to step back, take a look at how we're stewarding our lives, and what does it look like to use those to their fullest potential. And obviously, we've reformatted Life to the Nth in a booklet format that's available for you guys to use in your church situations. I had to resort back to the old packet this morning since it was an 8.5 by 11 format, but it's a great format. I encourage you guys to grab it and use it with members of your church family as well. And this is a slide that I think Michael put together and Sam reviewed last week, but just talking about that concept of life to the Nth. What does it really mean to live life to the Nth, to live life to the fullest, life that reaches its full potential, and a life that really makes a difference and counts for God's purposes. And the idea is also deeply rooted in the wisdom literature, the idea of skill in living. And that's a lot more than just kind of an accumulation of the right ideas, but it's actually putting those right ideas in practice in our lives at every single level. And that's kind of the point that we're really getting to with the weeks we've been going through here. I've got a slide that will address that idea specifically, but this is kind of that point in time where it really starts to get more difficult. I mean, you can get around the ideas, you can agree that life planning is a good idea, you can have ideas about what you want your legacy to be, but then when you start saying, okay, what do I actually have to do to make this happen? That gets harder because it causes you to get down into the details to assess what am I actually doing on a day-to-day basis. So that's kind of the spirit of what we're going to be tackling this morning. Now, just before we kind of dive deeply into the strategy pieces, I pulled a verse that Michael used in the Psalm 90:12, one that Sam used, and then I added to it John 10:10, which I remember sitting in the Sheman building, maybe even the seat I was sitting in the Sheman building when we started the Life to the Nth series for the first time. And Jeff used John 10:10 as kind of a foundational verse to explain the concept of life to the Nth. What kind of life did Christ die in order for us to have? And it was oriented around that idea of an abundant life, life to the Nth, life to the fullest. So, we aren't to be enslaved to our sinful ways, sinful patterns, the effects, the mold that the world wants to push us into. Instead, we're supposed to take hold of true life and have it abundantly. And then related to that is that the idea of stewarding our days, of numbering our days, which is the timeline exercise, right? Stepping back and saying, what does it really mean for me to for my life to count for God's purposes in the big picture of things. At the end, Moses' reflection and desire for the work of their hands to be firmly established before God, as a community. So that idea of our lives counting for his purposes is something that God has always desired of his people. And then walking wisely, Again, we live in the midst of a sinful world. There are cultural pressures that push in on us. There are just things in our culture that want to push us into the mold of the ways of the world. So in the midst of all that, the pressures of life, we need to chart a course. We need to walk wisely. And in order to do that, probably be a good idea to know where we're going, right? So walking wisely, understanding the times, understanding our own abilities, charting a course for where we want to go, and then making a plan to get there. So those three passages kind of lay a foundation that the ideas that we're going to talk about today are all built on. So again, real briefly, we're to the point here where we've laid out our story, our purpose, our abilities, have put together, framed in our legacy, what we want to pass on to others, and now it's time to start making it something that we can take action on. I'm a visual person, helps me to draw diagrams of things, so this is kind of the same thing, but just in a picture format. But I like thinking of these things as blocks, right, that you just kind of, you're laying that foundation kind of one piece on top of the other. Now, here's my stunning, shocking image. Sorry if you love horses. This is offensive to you. But, yes, I was using this with college students. I need something to shake them up a little bit here. So, again, this is my slide to illustrate. Don't get to this point in time and then fail to push it all the way through to where you can actually take action on your plan here. Because we need to deal seriously with the idea, with the gap between our ideas and reality. You know, recently, James and I watched a ESPN 30 for 30 film, which is called Broke, which is about these professional athletes that 3 years after their playing career, they have no money. So Herm Edwards, he's a college coach right now, I think, was an NFL coach, NFL analyst. He was relating a story where they talked to these rookie players that come in now, and they're like, "Oh, don't worry about me, coach. I've got goals." He goes, "Really? What's your plan?" He said, "Because a goal without a plan is a wish." You know, then, you know, Michael Hewitt, is it vision without execution is hallucination? Is that? So it's, again, modern-day proverbs intended to help us connect the dots between we can have great ideas, but if we don't build a real plan and lay out a strategy to get there, it's probably less likely that we're going to get to where we want to go, and then the world's just going to kind of blow us whatever direction it wants to. So all that to say, we need to develop a strategic life plan that we can work off of, and a plan that is designed to keep it all in balance. Now, again, part of the reality of life is that there's always a push and a pull. There's times where you're focusing maybe in some of these spheres more than others, but the idea is consistent development in all of those areas, because it can be very easy for us to focus exclusively on one of those areas, maybe sometimes to the complete failure to really do much thinking in some of those areas. And so as time goes on, we want to make sure that we're giving good thought to each of those areas. So that part of the exercise today, again, building on last week, is to keep all of these areas in mind. And again, this is not a picture of our family calendar, but it might as well be. This is just the reality of life, right? I mean, there's always stuff going on, you know? And the previous phase always looks less busy than the phase that you're in. It's kind of been my experience so far. It's like you got three kids. You know, what's it like having four kids? Imagine you're drowning and somebody hands you a baby. That's what having four kids is like, right? I mean, that's just the reality of our lives. There's just a lot going on. So again, if we don't hoist a sail and chart that course, life is just going to happen to us. And so one way that this can be, or people try to address this, is with the daily planner, right? You know, Steve has a fantastic, well-bound maroon binder that he's undoubtedly has with him here this morning. Okay, daily planner. This is my daily planner right here. So it's different. It's all right. But there can be a tremendous tendency to not focus on strategic level things, but instead just kind of fill your daily planner, right? Like with all the things that are going on in the week, And oftentimes things that are really important, things that take maybe many years for you to invest in and build, those things can get crowded out if our only planning tool is, you know, what do I have going on this month? What do I have going on this week? What's happening tomorrow? So they aren't a tool for strategic planning and thinking, but oftentimes we use them that way. So instead of just the daily planner, what we want to do is put a strategy in front of that these things then flow out of, right? From your strategy to planning guides, and then yearly, monthly, daily activities that flow on to our calendars. And the more that I've worked with this, and I think the more that any of us work with this, it almost begins to become instinctive the more you understand your plan and where you're going. And you find yourself making choices, evaluating things, should I do this, should I not do this, you know, based on an overarching strategy. And again, if we're laying those plans consistent with what we understand God to be doing in the world, what is God's plan, what are my gifts, what should I be doing, that should give us tremendous confidence in our actions and decisions. Because we know that we've got a filter, a way that we're processing through those things to make the best use of our time. Because again, the other thing I'm realizing the older I get is that time is finite. I have to go to bed earlier than I used to, which is very, very depressing for me, actually. It's like it's not worth anything the next day if I don't get some decent rest here. So, you know, it's a finite resource. We only have so much of it. How are we going to spend it? So this is a diagram that I came up with that kind of helps me think through kind of the flow of things here so I can kind of explain this. So on the far left side there, we have our unique life purpose, right? Then from that purpose come our lifelong intentions, which is kind of next door to the legacy stuff that we were working through last week. Out of those intentions, we set goals. And then out of those goals, we're going to develop a strategy. That's next time, is really starting to develop that strategy, the plan, and habits and goals. And then I see kind of a cycle that's the cycle down there in that bottom right corner. That's kind of like an annual review process. If you're stepping back and saying, how am I doing? How's the plan going? Am I accomplishing what I want to accomplish? So you have that cycle there where you may need to adapt your plan. It may need to adjust. You know, the ideas that you had may not have panned out the way you wanted them to. And then the two arrows at the top kind of indicate, broad lifelong intentions, but the farther you go to the right, the more specific you can be on what am I going to do. Also related to that, those lifelong intentions, many of those things are probably going to be stable things that are not going to change. You may add new ones, you might revise them, but as you move farther across, the methods and strategies that you use to accomplish them are probably going to need to be more agile, adaptable. You may need to change them, different ways of doing things. And what we're going to focus on today, again, is the lifelong intentions and the long-range goals. So I hope most of you were able to dredge up the work you've done over the past couple weeks, or you have it on your computer somewhere, because that will be a great resource as we begin to kind of flesh out some of these lifelong intentions. So what are lifelong intentions? So they are aspirations or mini visions for each element of your life purpose. So individual, family, local community, global community. They're statements that I call mini visions for each element of that. You know, and again, that broad concept, they should be worded in a way that would be true of you for your entire life. And hopefully you can come up with several of them for each area. And my recommendation for how to approach them is to write them in a few words and then try to explain them more thoroughly. Because when you're thinking about big picture pieces like this, you know, it can be easy to kind of be paralyzed by the white piece of paper. But just sketching them out real quick in a few words, then unpacking them. So here are a few of mine. You know, lifelong individual goals: develop into a disciplined, wise man; personal mastery of the scriptures; become a benefactor with my time and money; helping others launch their own business ventures; contribute significantly to local and international ministry, and maintain personal health and fitness. And then family intentions, cultivate and grow a lifelong marriage relationship with Stephanie, build a strong sense of tradition and belonging to our family, have an intergenerational strength idea, see our faith successfully handed down generation to generation, and see the family on mission, contributing to the work of building the church locally and globally. And then lastly, see our children successfully enter adulthood and begin build, or and see them successfully enter into adulthood and building strong foundations for their future. So family, work, ministry, and community. So those, again, those are deliberately broad statements, but things that I would want to be true of my entire life. I won't go through. I'll put these back up when we're kind of in the work session there. But then out of those lifelong intentions, then we start laying goals. Again, based on our unique life purpose, at least 5 years in length, sometimes many as 30 years in length. And again, to bring it down to like, what can I write down right now? You know, asking yourself the question, in the next 5 years, so it can be helpful to write your current age down on there and then add 5 years to kind of know where you're at. You know, what do I need to be doing in the next 5 years to accomplish each of those things? So again, just kind of, you know, farther and farther down that path of specificity. So one more example here. So my long-range individual goals, at least 5 years in length, that are related to these long-range individual goals. So go through leadership aims, complete my Antioch School Master of Ministry, you know, grow a financial foundation to benefactor from, investment and giving, and do some kind of extreme race, whether it's a Warrior Dash, Tough Mudder, something like that. So, you know, I could draw lines from each of those to show you how in the next 5 years each of those things relate to those lifelong individual goals, but it gives me something to shoot for in the next 5 years. And then, again, I'll cycle through these two during the work session time. But then after that, then you begin building your strategy, you know, 1 to 2 year plan. So how do we zoom down one more level? And again, this is why this gets harder, right? It's like, oh, well, I'm 3 steps? Come on. It's like, just want to write the big picture and then just go do stuff. It's like, well, all right, see how that goes. So building a 1 to 2 year plan, prioritizing the activities, dates, deadlines, review systems needed to help you accomplish those goals. So that can be habits that you need to build, skills you need to develop, or one-time simple goals. But again, just takes you down another level there and says, it's moving you closer to saying, what do I need to do this week? What do I need to do this month to keep moving towards the accomplishment of those goals? And then this is from that section in the new Life to the Nth book. These are some examples of guides that you can use to frame in your strategy. So we on the far left-hand side, the seasonal guide, again, looks at the year at a month-to-month basis where you can plot out the big pieces. The center section kind of helps you think about what are some of the big chunks that probably need to be in my schedule, things that I ought to include. And then over there, it takes it all the way down to a weekly schedule, what needs to flow on to my schedule this week. So this is that process. So if I could get some help here, could you guys help me hand these out? So what you have here is the whole packet here. And what I want to have you guys start working on are start working on writing in those lifelong intentions, and then maybe even getting to some of your long-range goals. It's going to be tough in 20 minutes here to work it all the way down to a level of a detailed strategy. But take 20 minutes here, start writing those in. If you brought your life purpose, if you brought your legacy pieces, lay those out and let those inform your lifelong intentions and your long-range goals. So give you about 20 minutes here to dive into that, and then we'll pull our heads back together here. I believe that last time Sam had was encouraging kind of people to share kind of across the generations here a little bit too, instead of just kind of hearing from one particular age segment. You can share from any of those categories, your individual, family, local, world, community goals, but just share with us what you've come up with, because again, like Socratic discussion, other avenues where we're together, processing through things together, we can really sharpen each other on that. Somebody might phrase something or say something that you want to add to your list, so don't deny somebody else the opportunity to learn from your insight here. So somebody get us started here. Or I get to choose, whichever. All right, you leave me no choice. Thomas Berg.
Sorry, Dave, what was the specific question again?
You can pick any of the categories, but share with us some of your lifelong intentions.
Yeah, I think one of the bigger categories that I looked at this time was I need to be more intentional around continually cultivating and developing relationships with some of the guys in my church and looking to help them develop and see what their goals are and how I can better fit into that and see how we can bring that out and carry it forward.
Yeah, if only we had a tool for doing that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Helping people grow and develop. So what category did you have that in, Thomas? Was that...
I had that in community.
Community, okay. Yeah, the community, because again, we have our church family, our church community, right? We also have our local community, so you want to be thinking in terms of both of those. So, all right, thanks, Thomas. Somebody else here, who wants to go next? Lene? Hopefully you want to share something and don't have a question, right?
Well, this is not exactly specific, but from what he said, that's actually what I started fixing on the work that I've done before, is I've been dividing the community into the two parts so that they overlap a lot, but mm-hmm. that way then I can see the progression and that the church community, I mean, I've never not known it, so it's always been a part. And so I did it in my timeline even, and so it's makes it easy to connect as I'm going through.
Okay, so dividing the community clearly into those two segments?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thanks, Lene. All right, who wants to go next here? How about Isaac Bowers? I think Isaac wants to go. He's not maintaining eye contact with me, so that's... And again, I realize that, taking a swing at this
at
in
Ben,
20
so
minutes...
I was looking at Ben, so you would look at him.
What's it?
I was looking at Ben, so hopefully you'd look towards him.
You can give it to him next if you want
to. Oh, perfect. For a five-year goal for me, I wrote down a complete certificate of ministry. So I've taken all the core classes for that, but have a long ways to go on green check marks. So trying to get that done, but also trying to find a way to continue on with the cohort and the classes that go on with that. So whether that means I actually do a bachelor's or master's after the fact, or just treat that as a getting wisdom as time goes on. That part's not clear to me yet. But.
Okay, so you said you had that as a five-year goal. And like, what is that? What's the intention that you've kind of connected that to? Did you have an intention that you articulated?
Yeah, to me, this is it falls into being just participating, growing member in God's church. You know, whether that's for myself, my family, or leading others within the church.
Okay, great. Thanks, Isaac. Come on, Ben. What do you got for us here, Ben?
I just was working through some of my individual goals about continuing education, finishing my certificate in the Antioch School, certificate of ministry, and then continuing to just build a usable portfolio of work that I can access for ministry and for just developing my family and that, you know, whatever I need it for, all of that work will be useful. So just making goals around continuing that even after I get the certificate of ministry, just continuing to build that work. So, and then I had some other stuff like taking some management or leadership courses for work and for even in use for ministry as well. So,
great, thanks. All right, so I think we've 20s, 30s, 40s, I think have represented themselves here so far. Now we gotta let's get into the 50s, 60s crowd here a little bit. You don't have to say your age when you start. That we won't make you do that. All right, Bob. We can go back to the 30s, Bob.
Boy, I don't know. Lifelong range, lifelong family intentions. I have kids and grandkids all in a good faith-based life to the nth track. That's the best I got to offer.
Okay. I mean, is that, and Bob, you've worked through these ideas before. Would that be a correct statement?
Correct.
Okay.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, how have you, I mean, so you're, this is not necessarily fresh things that you're working through, right. But how have you seen, I mean, can you speak at all to kind of the progression of working with this stuff as your kids have moved on through, or as your roles and responsibilities have changed in communities or the workplace?
Yes, but I, in working through this time, I'm taking a fresh perspective in the 10 to 30 years that I have left. What do I want to accomplish with that? But yes, life to the nth has always been a tool that we've used with our kids since they were in junior high range. So continuing that process with them and their grandkids. So my long-range goal in that area is to have a firmly established life to the nth conversation with each of my each child or couple, and the distinction there firmly establishes we're in that process, have continually been in that process, but I would firmly established as a good goal for the next 5 years to have them be aware. Are any of them in the room this morning? have them be aware and their on themselves be engaging and initiating and driving that process.
Okay. Well, I mean that's kind of an example there too of where the you know the strategy as you know, if you've been working with these ideas for a long period of time, you enter into different phases of life. I mean the tool can still be used, but the way that you're implementing it and working with it, you know, the strategy you know, flexes and changes over time, too, as your relationships with your kids change, so on and so forth. I mean, that's, it can all still be anchored to the lifelong intention and the life purpose. Those pieces are stable, but the way you continue to work with it does need to adapt and change. Somebody else, any age bracket here. Let's hear from like two more people.
Hi, I'm Isaiah. I don't know if everyone knows me, but hello. So I was mainly working on my lifelong individual goals and 5-year range. One of my lifelong individual goals is to master the scriptures. And some of the goals to get that within the next 5 years is to complete the certificate of ministry, possibly start a bachelor's of ministry. We'll see. Not quite sure on that yet. And to be more involved within 16th Street and to know more about all the families, because we've got how many, Isaac?
Plenty.
So try and understand them and be more involved in their lives to be an asset with time and possibly mentorship for their kids later on in life.
Great. Thank you. One more, then I have kind of a concluding slide thought here for taking this forward. How about Dia? Hello, Dia. Dia thinks a lot about the end of the timeline, so I'll be like lifelong intentions here.
I was just looking at my... I did this quite a few years ago, so I was just seeing how true I've been to it. So, but thinking about family purpose, immediate family plus my church family, Jay's been encouraging me to... I always feel like I don't have the right things to offer, and he's always encouraging me to just be real, because that's what these young women need, and I'm trying to be more that way, with my life, sharing and coming prepared with things to share at church and that. And also just entering the phase of our life where I would say we're in the winter of our lives, and we're having to deal with very specific health issues and just... but carry on in the midst of all of that. And so just, learning how to navigate through that. But also just like with our immediate family and taking advantage when you put up that busy calendar. And a while ago you had a great line where it just said, get over it, life's gonna be busy, figure it out. That really hit me, because that's really true. Even in our retirement years, I just feel like, what the heck? I had no idea I was going to be this busy in retirement. But just taking advantage of the moments if there's a brief day on the calendar that's not busy and I can be in my grandchildren's lives, and Jay does woodworking projects, but coming alongside in your busy schedules, whether it be our church family or our own kids, just coming alongside, around the dinner table or woodworking project or what, but just being available and being prepared to talk about those legacy issues, as they arise. So
great. Yeah, I mean, so no matter what stage of life you're in, there can be a tendency to look back at the previous one and be nostalgic about how much time you had then. But there's unique challenges in every stage of life, the challenges when you're raising your kids and the competition for your time and your resources, or if you're, finishing, and just some of the challenges and health challenges that can arise in that stage of life, there's things that are always going to try and shove us off course. And if we don't have that stable life purpose and those stable lifelong intentions to anchor things around, in a few of the examples you've heard, it can be very, you have to figure out how to process through those things, and a solid base of understanding what your purpose is and a solid strategy that helps you navigate and even has to be adaptable in the face of certain things. But it's very crucial for us to really steward our time well. So as we conclude here, a couple thoughts on maximizing the impact of your strategy. And really in the end, maximizing the impact of all the work that you're doing in life to the nth. One is to work on it as a household. You know, husbands, wives, if you're a household of one, get your household in order, right? Because you never know when you might become a household of two. So that's especially for the fellas. Coming to a one-mindedness around these ideas. What are we trying to accomplish? Where are we going? Because it's sneakily easy to be on two different agendas, really. And then you start talking about, what are we going to do with our time? How are we going to think about this? You have to be one-minded about those things. So husbands and wives, also how we're orienting our children, you know, how they think about things, can be very easy in today's world to be, you know, to be fundamentally driven by the agenda and activities of the things that are going on in your kids' lives, which can, again, can take you off course. But helping them understand, what is our family about? Where are we going? Something to point back to when challenges and other issues come in that want to either steal time away or challenge those ideas, having that strategy as a base there. And it's a meaningful assessment framework. You know, Steve Kemp's been a mentor of mine for a long time, and Steve is extraordinarily gifted at finding out where your gaps are, spotting those things, calling you out on those things. But again, you know, absent a strategy, you know, it's that one of the things he said is that it helps show you where your gaps are. That's why assessment is a useful thing. It shows you, you know, what needs to be better thought through, better refined. So it shapes a meaningful assessment framework for husbands and wives, for parents and children. And then the work that you're doing here, even if it's just a start, because again, I realize that 20 minutes is probably not enough time to put together a comprehensive life strategy. But if you figured it out, let me know, because I would love to figure out how we could turn that into a product of some kind. But you've gotten the ball rolling, or maybe you've gotten the ball rolling on reviewing your work. But share it with your church leaders and mentors. You know, this is a fantastic shepherding resource for people to come, you know, for any of us, life on life, to come alongside each other, for church leaders to look at it and help you spot strengths that maybe they didn't know about, pieces of, you know, a vision for what you want to see happen through your family and your life that maybe your church leaders don't know about, but also spotting gaps, you know, areas where maybe you're not thinking through something as comprehensively as you could. So you'll really leverage this work. Don't just kind of keep it, you know, in a pile of papers or just locate it on your machines. Get it, you know, get it out in your churches, talk about it, share it with your church leaders, and really let them come alongside you and help you develop with that. So again, I encourage you guys to, again, talk about this in your churches tonight. Keep the ball rolling. Maybe you need to set aside time, a half day or a whole day. Find a way to kind of carve out a block of time where you can really sit down and grind through this. Use the buddy system. I don't know. It's like sit down with somebody else and work through it. Bounce ideas off each other. But again, that it's so easy to not invest in this because it just takes that level of discipline that it's challenging to get ourselves to really wrestle through. So Let me go ahead and close this in a word of prayer here, and then we'll conclude for the morning. Well, God, we thank you that you haven't hidden from us what it is that you're doing in the world, God, what you've been doing since the beginning of time, that we can understand your story from the scriptures, and that in light of that, God, we can think through our story, the amount of time that you've given to each and every one of us. I thank you for the unique way that you make each of us, the gift sets that you've given to us, and even the experiences that we've gone through in our lives, God, that are some that are joyful and some that are trying and painful. But God, I ask that we would be able to process through those things, to see your fingerprints on our lives, to consider what it is that we can contribute to the building of your church. And God, that as we that we would apply ourselves to the task of numbering our days, of considering the use of our time, of laying plans, laying them, God, with a loose grip, knowing that, God, that you can redirect, but to be intentional with the way that we think through the use of our time, talents, and resources. So, God, we thank you for all that you've done, and we just pray, God, that we could as individuals, as families, and as a family of families, both here locally and in a real way around the world, God, have a substantial impact for the progress of the gospel. In your name we pray. Amen.